The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to everyone who is here in person, and welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good that we are together, and today we will experience God in word, and in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. So let us begin worship this morning with the words as printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who has given us birth, our light, and salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were united to Christ, joined to Christ through the Holy Spirit and the promise of God. We are washed in God's mercy and love. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Through the waters of the flood, you carried those in the ark to safety. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery to freedom. In the wilderness, you nourished them with water from the rock, and you brought them across the river Jordan to the promised land. By the baptism of his death and resurrection, your son Jesus carried us to safety and freedom. The flood shall not overwhelm us, and the deep shall not swallow us up. For Christ has brought us over to the land of promise. He sends us to make disciples, baptizing them in the hope of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Pour out your Holy Spirit. Wash away our sins in this cleansing water. Clothe the baptized with Christ, and claim us, no longer slaves nor free, no longer male or female, but one with all the baptized in Christ Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe. In your Son, Emmanuel, you have shown us your light and saved us from the power of sin.
Blessed us as we are the examples of history. Increase our longing for your presence. That celebration of your Son's birth, his Spirit might dwell in you in our midst. For he is our light and our salvation. Blessed be
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Alright, so what I have here is a deck of cards, right? And it's not going to be a card trick, but I'm just going to test your knowledge about a deck of cards. How many colors are in the deck? Different colors. Do we know? Well, okay, but that, yes, there is white. But what are these two primary colors here? Black and red, right? And do we know, and each of those are called suits, right? And each of those are broken down. Do you know the other ways they're broken down? There are four different ways. Do we know cards much? So maybe our adults in the room can help us out. What are the different suits in the deck of cards?
Cards, diamonds, spades, and clubs.
Clubs, right? And we know that it goes from ace to queen, king, jack, all the way down to number two. But can anyone here tell me what the guaranteed card is?
Joker.
Someone knows, a joker. Yes, there is one card in this deck called the guaranteed card. And it is one of the jokers. And if you have, and jokers, by the way, can be used for all kinds of things. But this deck will say guarantee on it. You see the word guarantee? Guarantee. And what this card does is it guarantees that you have a complete deck. And if you don't have a complete deck, you take this guaranteed card, and you take the ace, and you mail it off to the company, and you get a brand new deck of cards. It's your guarantee, a full set. And so, I think when we think of Advent and what it is Christ is, think of Christ as the guarantee of God, of God's presence on earth. It is the guaranteed card that God is real, and that God is with us. So let us pray. We're going to clap our hands on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for being with us.
And thank you for being with us.
Amen. And we have Sunday school.
First reading this fourth Sunday of Advent is from the 7th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the 10th verse. Hear now the word. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is on page 4 of your bulletin this morning. We'll read it responsively. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned among the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
O Lord of hosts, how long will your anger fume when your people pray?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one you have made so strong for yourself.
And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Our second reading is from the first chapter of Romans, beginning with the first verse. Hear now the word. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as a wife, but had no marital relationships until she had borne a son, and they named him Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So we're almost there in our Advent journey, almost to the mystery of the divine light and life breaking into the world. And though we are so close, we still have a little bit left to go. And we will get Mary's version of this story next week. And today we hear this story from the perspective of Joseph. And it's a surprise encounter Joseph has. He is asked to lean in to the unexpected. He does not see what is coming. He's asked to embrace in faith. And we are invited with him to lean into faith, to lean that God is with us in the midst of our journeys. But before we continue to understand this passage, we are faced with a translational problem that we have to talk about. And I know most of you are all thinking that I'm going to talk about the difference between a young maiden in one version and a virgin in the next, but that is not the translational issue I am talking about. And when I think of translational problems, a story comes to mind, and it's super embarrassing for me, and it has to do with my internship at Edmonds, and no one at Edmonds knows the story, Pete, so you can't tell them. And never mind that this is gonna be on social media. If they find out, I know it's you, Pete. But on Wednesdays, they served a community meal in Edmonds. And it's much like we do at Stone Soup. They have an army of volunteers who would come in. They'd be preparing food all day, and then they'd serve it at 5 o'clock. And they had food for everyone, all the staff, all the time there. And all you had to do was walk down to the kitchen and get food. But this particular Wednesday, I was not very interested in what they had to offer for food. And there happened to be a Safeway across the street, just like there is here. So I wonder, this isn't related, but I often wonder whether there's some kind of correlation in there. Some secret agreement between Safeway and the church. But nonetheless, I decided to sneak over to Safeway, and I wanted to sneak because I didn't want to offend anybody. And I got to Safeway, I got to the parking lot, and there was this lady holding a sign asking for help with food. And I thought, this is a great moment to go tell this lady that we're serving food at 5 o'clock at the church. And So I approached her and tried to explain the Lutheran church. We have meal at 5 o'clock. Come get food. We'll have additional food to send home with you. But in that encounter, I quickly realized that this lady didn't understand English. And so she motioned to her a companion, who I assume was her daughter, and she stepped forward to translate. And at that moment, I was already really nervous about being caught by my church family. I was in this now very awkward encounter. And so the very little ability that I had to communicate in Spanish was completely forgotten. I couldn't think of a single word. I didn't know how to communicate to her. And as her, what I again assume was her daughter, began to say what I was saying, I did hear the word casa, or house. And then this lady got this look of fear and dread in her eyes and adamantly started yelling at me, no, no, no. And so what I surmised in that moment was she probably told her that I was trying to lure her into my house at 5. And so I was totally embarrassed. I tried to say no church. I kept hearing casa. So I knew that there was no time in the world to make this right. And I knew my presence was only going to continue to be a source of fear and danger for this lady. So I just quickly walked away as fast as I could. But in doing that, I was even more embarrassed because I felt guilty now. I felt like I had done something wrong. And all I was trying to do was tell her that there was dinner at the church. And so translations can be like that, can't they? A mistranslation can change the meaning of something. And Gabriel presents a mistranslation, but he does this intentionally, because in this changing of meaning, we get the entirety of, I think, the gospel message of this morning. See, Gabriel tells the mother to name, or tell the mother, I'm already next week, tell Joseph, name the baby Jesus. And we know Jesus, of course, comes to us from the Greek language, and it's a form of a Jewish word for Joseph, Yeshua. And Joseph means, or Joseph is the combination of two words, the Lord's name, and he will save. So Joseph means God will save. So have you gotten it yet? What does Gabriel say to Joseph? You will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Our text is immediately pointing us to this divine mystery with Jesus' name. And even if we miss that, the author then connects it to the word Emmanuel. This is God with you. I know I have said it a few times now, but I will remind you again. The really fascinating part of all these Old Testament texts that we have read in Advent, our favorite passages in Scripture, some of them, is they're all talking about what God will do. They have nothing really to say about a Messiah at all. And even this text this morning about this young maiden bearing a child, this child is a sign of what God will do in delivering the people. And so our author, Matthew, is connecting us, telling us that Jesus is standing there in the place of God, coming in God's place, bringing salvation to us. And so the salvation and the presence are combined. The God who saves is the God who is with us. And this is the same language we get in those passages from Isaiah. The God who liberates is the God who forgives. The God who is present is the God who saves. We cannot separate these two realities. And my friends, this is the same language we use with our sacraments. We use both languages of God's presence and God's forgiveness at the same time. This morning we talked about forgiveness through the waters of baptism, but we also proclaim Christ is present in these same waters. It's the same with the supper. We proclaim Christ is present, God is here, and your sins are forgiven. That liberating power of God is connected to the presence of God. Martin Luther famously talked about Christ being present in faith. And through faith, God is present with you and in you and for you. And so all this is summed up when Gabriel comes to Joseph and he says, "Name him Jesus, for he will save his people." And Joseph is invited into this whirlwind of the unexpected. Joseph, before this, his whole life was unraveling. He's talking about a divorce from his betrothed wife. Everything he thought he knew was now in ruins. He's scared. He doesn't know what happens next. And the angel comes and invites him on this journey. And Joseph, to come along with this journey, he must let go of everything he once thought of God. He must let go of his own righteousness. He must lean into the unknown. Lean in faith, but always knowing that God is with him. And we are invited into this journey with Joseph as well. You know, at times in our lives, no sooner have we have it all figured out, no sooner than we think we know who God is, everything constantly seems to change. And once again, we have to learn anew who God is, what he calls us for, and what is the world around us. And I know in our own lives, in our own corporate journey together right now, the world around us is changing and like shifting sand underneath our feet. And it's really hard to know what comes next. But we are invited to travel with Joseph, to know that our faith is in the God who saves, in the God who is present, and that along this journey, every step of the way, God will be with us. And if we fail to get it in the first chapter of Matthew, we get it the last chapter of Matthew. The last words Jesus says in that gospel is, "Remember, I am with you to the end of the age." Gospel of Matthew prefaces this as bookends. At the beginning, at the end, God is here. God is with us on this journey. And God will be here till the end of the age. Amen.
Peace.
As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. God, our Shepherd, let your Spirit move with power throughout the church. Give discernment and wisdom to our bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay leaders. Take away our fear so that we love and serve, confident that you are guiding us. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our source, awaken us to the beauty of the earth and the marvelous variety of life. Unite humankind in repairing and caring for your creation. Protect creatures and habitats in peril due to rising seas and warming temperatures. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our vision, raise up leaders in every nation who dream of freedom and justice for all people. We pray for the work of international organizations that promote peace and human rights, especially Amnesty International. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our helper, come to the aid of all who cry out to you. Shelter migrants, refugees, and those fleeing war and famine. Bring relief to individuals and families experiencing hunger, homelessness, or impoverishment. Comfort any who are isolated and lonely. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our Emmanuel, you are with us in our life together. We give you thanks for gathering us in worship and fellowship. And we remember those who cannot be present. Watch over those who travel. Heal the sick and speed their recovery, especially Leif, Aaron, Reg, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Dave, Joe, Patty, Deb, Teresa, Clifford, Jim, Nicole, Madeline, Mary Ellen, Barry, Pastor Jane, the family of Randy Harmon and Jean Bard, and victims of the war in Ukraine. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our hope, you bring life out of death, and you promise to be our God forever. Shine upon the faithful who now rest in the fulfillment of your promise, and bring us also into your blessed reign of peace. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to ask for prayers now as we bless a quilt and a shawl that we're going to give Pastor Jane. And so I ask everyone now to extend your hands out in prayer that we may say a prayer that when she is covered in these blankets, she will know that the community is here. Dear God, we ask you now to be with Pastor Jane and Barry. Cover them with your comfort and your love and your presence. And may they know that the community is behind them and that they may feel the warmth and comfort of the love that is around them. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ, whatever. And we can now stand as we begin a great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart. God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promises of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation, blessed are you in the darkness and in the light, blessed are you for your promise to your people, blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams, blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will, blessed are you for your son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of sin, the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and the cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth, his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come amongst us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of your peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, prayer, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the gift of God for the people of God. All are welcome to come forward and receive the sacrament. And you may all be seated. All are welcome here. If you wish to come and just receive a blessing, come with your arms crossed. But all are welcome and invited to come partake.
Save us.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Faithful God, in this meal you have remembered your mercy, bringing heaven to earth in the body and blood of Christ. As we wait for the day when all your promises will be fulfilled, sustain us and strengthen us by this holy mystery. Guide us towards your promised future, coming to bring birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now we have a moment of announcements, and if you have an announcement, just raise your hand for the good of the order. But before we open that floor up, I just want to remind everyone that after service, for our voting members, we have to vote on constitutional changes. And this, of course, always brings up that awkward conversation of members, where you're all members, and then certain members have certain voting rights. If you are a member who wishes to be incorporated fully into that, please see me and talk to me. We'll be having kind of a January goal, or not a goal, but program to try and connect with people who want to become that full membership of the group. But it's, as I said, always awkward because, of course, you're all members of the church. And with that being said, if you are those voting members, please stay behind for a quick vote. Are there any other announcements in the congregation? Twice. All right, so a quick week in advance. We're coming up to the week of weeks, right? And so Wednesday we'll have Holden prayer at 7 on Christmas Eve. On Saturday on the 24th, we will have our Christmas Eve candlelight service at 7. And Christmas is on a Sunday, so we will have a service at 10 a.m. No adult forum on Christmas Day, though. Just service at 10. So please join us if you're in the area and you want. You're invited to come to any and all of our Christmas celebrations this year. So with that being said, let us... One moment to your church. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to receive the benediction. God, the eternal Word, who dwells with us in Jesus and who holds us in the grace of the Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Unless, of course, you're a voting member, then you have to stay. All other people you're free to stay but can't vote.